As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the Word of God. We're going to be reading from the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter, verses 9 through 17. The words can be found on the screen above as well. It says, "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?' I said to them, 'Sir, you are the one that knows.' Then he said to me, 'These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worshiped him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the waters of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to join as a community of faith gathered here around your word and around worship and music, sung and listen to, responding to the great love that you have for us. Lord, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. When thinking of John Wesley and Methodism, one of the most well-known ideas is this idea of the Wesley Quadrilateral. And the Wesley Quadrilateral is kind of the way to think about things. And the four parts of the Wesley Quadrilateral are Scripture, reason, experience, and tradition. For United Methodist, Scripture is considered the primary source and standard of Christian doctrine. We look at things through the eyes of Scripture, but we also look through things in the eyes of reason and experience and tradition. Reason is what individual Christian brings to bear on the Christian faith, discerning our brain. We use our brain as we look at things. Experience is the individual's understanding of the faith in light of his or her own experience. We've all lived different lives. We've all gone through different challenges and joys and within our life. And so as we look at things, experience affects the way we view things, understand things. And tradition is the witness and development and growth of our faith through past generations. Things that are set forth in our lives that have been passed down to us. One of the commentaries that I read said that All Saints' service is one of John Wesley's favorite services of the Christian year. I think that goes with John Wesley's understanding of tradition and how tradition impacts our life. Our church life together has been affected by the saints who have come before us. For instance, the fact that there's a United Methodist Church here on the corner of Far West Boulevard and Village Center Drive and Hart Lane is because someone said before us, faithful followers of Jesus Christ, located an area and thought, this is a place to plant a church. Before there was an HEB across the street or my favorite Starbucks on the corner over here, there was a church planted here around a couple schools and around a neighborhood. Faithful followers who then went on to figure out what we needed as far as buildings on our amazing campus. I love looking at history of the churches that I serve and looking at names of people who have come before and wondering who they were and wondering their witness. And I like looking at there's a plaque out there in our welcome area with names of people who, and some are still here today, who helped provide the funds to buy the pews that we sit on today as we worship Christ together. I love looking at this book here, the On Solid Rock book that talks about the first kind of 25 years of history of our church from the beginning, in the beginning, with Jerry J. Smith, who was here a couple years ago as we celebrated our 55th anniversary, and then kind of looking through and looking at, there's information from church conferences and in 1980 that celebrate a growing Sunday school and after school and singles class and retreats and successful stewardship crusade and vacation Bible school. With an operating fund of $118,000 and a building fund of $45,000. And then looking on to the creation of My Friend's House, a ministry that we still have today, providing care for 140 children of our area, but how it was thought of and just an idea in someone's mind. That the Children's Council is investigating the possibility of providing after-school care for school-age children in the Northwest Hills area. And we're forming a committee, and if anyone's interested in joining that committee, talk to Chris Kavner, a saint that we just celebrated today. And this book goes on and mentions people like Dorothy Dewberry and Lynn Klein, Mary Frances Markley, and so many others, and kind of goes on to end this particular chapter with the pastor that says, chapter one here, 1988, a flying start, with a picture of Dr. Raymond D. Kaiser starting in 1988. And here's the best part is that we here today have the ability and, might I say, the responsibility to continue writing chapters in this book On Solid Rock for those who come after us and continue to be present here in the Northwest Hills area as we've received all that we have here through saints who have planted seeds. We have the ability to plant seeds for the future of the church. This morning we read this scripture from Revelation. It's the last book of the Bible at the end of our Bible, and Revelation's primary intent, there's all kinds of, you know, ideas about Revelation, but you know, its primary intent is not to scare people, but to comfort the saints on this side of God's reveal of himself. It's to give hope. It's not a map to the end, but it's a promise of to those who feel as if they are already at their end to say that a new beginning awaits. In the passage I read this morning, John describes a glorious moment where countless of number of faithful people from every nation and tribe and language standing in front of the throne before the Lamb of God, those who have lived through the great ordeal, who have now passed and are now with Christ. And they're seen robed in white, singing praises to God. They've been washed clean, not by their own doing, but by the faithfulness and the blood of Jesus the Christ. You know, Jesus preached about what is possible when we follow Jesus the Christ, and as we live into our call as children of God, he preached the kingdom of God is near. It's the place where the poor hear the good news, and the blind regain sight, and the sick are healed, and those in chains are freed. And we read that we don't know when the time might come, but to love God every day. And we read in the Gospels of experiencing the same kind of resurrection as Jesus, and we read in Revelation that the angels who are clothed in white are worshiping God forever and ever. This is the good news, that death is not the end. We don't have to worry about just making the final cut, but instead, as a believer of Christ, we get to be part of making a world and a place of love where every nation and tribe and people and language might experience the love of God forever. You know, we had some hosted and provided space and led and remembered lives this year through Celebration of Life services. And even as each one of those services, we grieve because of the deep ways that the ones we celebrated are no longer to be seen. But at the same time, we remember their witness and their example. We remember their ministry and their memories. We remember the person who has gone before us. And for that, we celebrate each and every moment. Christians have faith that their deceased loved ones are with God and that we'll see them again. And our hope is not so much to predict when the future will end. I was with a group this week and looking at the scripture from the Gospel of Mark, how our job is not to try to figure it out or predict, but instead to live in the hope and the grace that we experience in the here and now, on this side of the curtain, even as we look forward to life on the other side of the curtain. So on this All Saints Sunday, we remember the members and the faithful disciples who have attended this church who we see no more. Those who have influenced this congregation, who have been part of chapters already written. May we remember their lives. And may we think about, may we ponder, may we be a part of the next chapters of this book, as we live life on this side of the curtain in expectation of the other side. May the promise of resurrection be a part of our life, and may the possibilities of life together lead us in the days to come. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to both remember and celebrate lives, disciples of this church who have made an impact. And for each one of them, we give you thanks. God, give us the eyes to see, the hearts attuned to how we might continue to serve you as we remember those who have gone on. May you give us the strength and the peace that passes all understanding to know that you walk with us each and every day, that we're not alone, and that you love us more than we could ever dream or imagine. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.